I want to begin today in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Jesus, at this point, has given the Sermon on the Mount, and now he's made his way down to the village of Capernaum, where he's going to continue ministering to the people there. A quick question, who has ever read or heard of the comic books called Asterix and Obelix? Oh yeah, if you're, I don't want to say it, but if you're old, you probably know what they are. I know what they are too. They're pretty good comics. What I love about them is the clever names that they give to all of the characters, whether they were a Gaul or whether they were a Roman. And so I decided it would be fitting today to give some of the unnamed characters in this story some names. So in this story, we have the centurion. So the centurion, who I'm going to name Selfus Averus, he is present around Capernaum at this time. I'm assuming he's been alerted of the fact that Jesus has made his way to this village. I'm guessing maybe by Pharisees, or you know, somebody came and told him, you know, Jesus, this guy is here. Just be prepared. He's probably going to cause some trouble. You know, if you have any inkling to arrest this guy, you know, just do it. Like, if you even have to kill him, like, you know, just get this done for us. And so the Pharisees have probably alerted the Romans of Jesus' presence that he could probably be stirring up some trouble. But the thing is, Selfus Averus he's got a different idea of who Jesus is. See, he's, at this point, he has been, he's heard of the stories of Jesus. He's heard of the miracles Jesus is performing, that he's healing people, you know, that lepers are being healed, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, you know, demons are being cast out. Maybe he's even heard that Jesus is forgiving people of their sins. You know, whatever that means to a Roman. But he's thinking, this Jesus guy's in town because I've got a problem. See, he's thinking, you know, 2 weeks probably before or so, his servant Gary, because, you know, it's probably not a Roman servant, you know, and they don't get a cool name. So Gary's been sick for probably about 2 weeks, and you know he's lying in bed. He's can't really move. He's hurting, and to Selfus Averus, he's like he's thinking, you know, I want my servant better. I want Gary to get better because, you know, Gary's been a good servant. You know, this guy, he tucks in my bed sheets just like perfectly square. You know, the pillows are laid out nicely. Every throw pillow is, you know, set out perfectly. You know, even the toilet paper. When he puts a new roll on, you know, he folds the corners under and makes this nice little perfect triangle. You know, the ones that I see so often at the Presbyter's house when they go on vacation. You know, he does all these really nice things. It's the details, this guy. Gary, man, he's the details guy. You know, but he's also become a bit of a friend and a bit of a confidant to Selfus Averus. You know, he's been able to, you know, share with him some of the struggles he's been going through, you know, in the Roman occupation and, you know, some of these things. And he's actually become quite dear to Selfus Averus. And so we find in this passage that there was a centurion. And he comes to Jesus. Selfus Averus says, you know, says, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Just think about what it would have been like for a Roman to decide to come to Jesus and ask for help. A Roman asking a Jew for help. But he comes to Jesus anyway, and he says, Lord, my servant Gary lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus says, Shall I come and heal Gary? Do you want me to come to your house? I'll do it. He says, No, Lord, I do not deserve to have you under have you come under my roof? But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He says, for I myself am a man under authority. He says some other things, and Jesus makes an exclamation to the people about self-awareness to the people around him. But then he turns to the centurion, and he says, go. He says, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And the servant was healed. See, the centurion interceded for his servant. But why? We have some questions. You know, did the centurion's actions directly cause, you know, the servant to be healed? Was it the faith of the centurion that healed the servant? Would Jesus have healed the servant if, you know, if self-awareness had done nothing, if he had just stayed home? Would Jesus have healed the servant? Why is intercession important? Why do we need to intercede? Over the last few weeks, we have been working ourselves through the Lord's Prayer. Last two sermons, Brent preached on adoration and petition, you know, going through our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praising God for who he is. And last week we covered, you know, this is our daily, you know, give us our daily bread, and petitioning God for our needs. But today we're going to go through intercessory prayer. And we're going to be looking at the phrase, your kingdom come. So I would encourage you today, after maybe this week sometime even, check out on our website the Digging Deeper link. There's going to be a link provided for the prayer course. There's a little video, probably 10 to 20 minutes long. It's good content. It's a good supplement to what we're learning today. So I encourage you to check that out. Before we get into this, though, let's read through the Lord's Prayer together in this wording. So if you join me, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, again, we have to take this in the context of what Jesus is doing as a whole. And so he's giving this prayer, he's teaching us this as part of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if you remember, back in November, we did a sermon series on the Beatitudes. And we covered a little bit about, which is at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And we covered a little bit about, you know, Jesus is giving us these instructions through the sermon. Of what he's doing is he's turning our upside down world, our worldly thinking, and he's turning it right side up. And he's giving us these instructions on how to live a kingdom life, a life, you know, living in service of the kingdom, and how to follow that. And so I want us to keep that in mind, because as we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us to pray, and he's teaching us to pray as people of the kingdom. So today I want you to take this big idea. The one thing I want you to take today is kingdom living requires kingdom praying. All right, kingdom living requires kingdom praying. If you are in the kingdom of God, then you need to be praying for the kingdom. So your kingdom come. As we're looking at this phrase, your kingdom come, you know, it's easy, I think, to look at it as, you know, Jesus is coming, you know, his kingdom is going to come, and it's this future thing. But this phrase is actually a progressive phrase. It's now and not yet. All right, the kingdom of heaven is now but not yet. The way we see this is the kingdom, first of all, is coming. All right? It's not yet. The kingdom is coming. See, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to establish his rule and reign over a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to come, and he's going to restore this world to what it was supposed to be. And so we pray, and we pray in eager expectation of Jesus' return, and we pray in eager expectation of his restoration here. The second thing is the kingdom is here. All right, the kingdom is now and not yet. So now the kingdom is now. It's here. In Luke 17, verses 20 to 21, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." So it's in your midst. It's among you. The word in the Greek word for midst actually ends up being translated directly as within. So it's within you. It's among you. It's around us. The kingdom of God is here, right here in Cornerstone. You know, if you believe in Jesus, you follow Jesus with your life, then you are part of the kingdom of God. See, I think I've come to realize that I think a kingdom needs three things. A kingdom needs a king to rule, granted. A kingdom needs probably land, for an area to rule over. But a kingdom also needs people. And so we are those people. We are those people right now. You know, God is coming. He's going to come. He's going to establish his reign over the earth and over the land and over us. But right now, we are actually his kingdom. We are his people in his kingdom. And so we pray, "Your kingdom come," as we are praying for each and every one of us. We're praying for the well-being of each other. The kingdom is growing. It's progressive. It's now, but it's also going to get to not yet, right? It's going to get to the end. But as we're going through that, the kingdom is growing. People are hearing about Jesus. People are hearing the gospel, and they are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The kingdom is growing. See, Jesus is again challenging us to live a life in the kingdom, in his kingdom. As believers, we are his kingdom. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we pray for each of these things. We pray in expectancy for his return and restoration. We pray for the well-being of our fellow brothers and sisters, and for those that do not yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but that one day, they would be a part of this kingdom. So why does this matter? Remember, kingdom living requires kingdom praying. Kingdom living requires kingdom praying. See, I think we pray for the kingdom not out of duty, but not just out of duty, because I think it is our duty, but it's actually also out of love. And we want to pray for the kingdom. Because kingdom living it's living like Jesus. His love has changed us. He has rescued us from a life living in darkness. He's shown us the light. Because of sin, humanity has been separated from God. We're getting a little bit into theology here, but we live in a depraved world, littered with the results of Adam and Eve's first sin. We see it all around us. We understand, as believers, we understand that our world is upside down. We look around, we see sex trafficking, we see people being abused, we see people sick, dying of diseases, people put into these horrible things. It's all around us. And we understand that this world is not as God intended. And so when it comes to intercession, out of love, we plead and we beg for those that we love, that you know, that do not know Christ as their Savior. And so we pray and we intercede for them, asking God to save them because we love them, because we want them so desperately to know who Jesus is. And we pray for those, for our brothers and sisters who are sick and hurting, because we love them. This is because we understand that we live in depravity. Father, help us to not be, God, help us to not be so used to our world. God, help us to see the world for what it is. God, not to be desensitized. Father, to be aware of the depravity around us. God, and to see and have a desire and an eagerness, God, to pray for those around us, to pray for those that still do not yet know you, to pray for our friends and our family. We also pray for others in the kingdom. So we pray for each other because we desire to see each other persevere through temptation. This is the result of sanctification. See, we want to see our brothers and sisters thrive in their kingdom living. Practically, I see this coming in the Conquer series. For those who are about to attend, you know, much of what we do through that is actually praying for each other, holding each other accountable, you know, encouraging each other. But much of what we do is pray for each other. You know, praying that we have the strength to persevere through temptations. Not that temptations would be gone altogether, because I think that's a lot of ways unrealistic. Because temptations, you know, push us to be better in our faith. But we pray that we have the strength, you know, to persevere through those temptations. You know, how often do you pray for, you know, for the lives of your church leaders? You know, or for those, you know, leading home groups, or just for each other? You know, that they would have God's strength to push through temptations of giving up, or laziness, or even busyness, or falling to sexual sin. And so we pray for each other to grow in sanctification. Father, help us to see the needs of each other, and Father, to lift each other up in prayer to you. God, that we would be stronger as a body together when we are lifting each other up in prayer. We also learn in 1 Peter 2:9, we first learn about the priesthood of all believers. Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." A royal priesthood. See, the emphasis here clearly is on priesthood. You know, you are a priest. We are priests. And so like the priests of the Old Testament, you know, they spent time, they interceded for their fellow Israelites. You know, once a year, the high priest, you know, met in the presence of God, in the inner room, you know, and brought the needs. He interceded for Israel. And he brought the needs of the country to God. And so just as Jesus actually intercedes for us, we find in Hebrews 7:24-25, Jesus actually intercedes for us in God's throne room. He is always in God's throne room, bringing our concerns and bringing our prayers to God. And so also, we enter God's presence with the prayers of others. So when you pray for others, you are actually bringing their needs, you're bringing them into the presence of God. I don't think that we intercede based on whether or not we know the answer that God is going to give us. You know, the following words in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next week, Brent is going to speak to us on, you know, matters of unanswered prayer. But I do not think that the centurion, that selfless awareness, that he knew what Jesus was going to do. You know, how could he? You know, he was a Roman. He was an outsider. You know, to the Jews, he was, you know, considered a dog. Unclean, unfit. You know, why would a Jew help this Roman centurion? Why should a Jew help him? I think he came to Jesus because he knew Jesus had the power to heal. He knew that Jesus, he came to Jesus because he knew that only the God in heaven had the power to perform these miracles. Therefore, as Jesus is performing them, he must be under God's direct authority. He came to Jesus simply because he cared for his servant, because he loved his servant and he wanted to see him well. This is why he came and he interceded. See, we pray because we know that God has the power to do these things. My grandma said, as I talked to her this last week, she said in matters of praying for healing, she said, I pray for healing as long as there is breath. And she is someone who has lost so much. She lost two sons, one at 13, one at 21 to muscular dystrophy. And she lost her husband when he was 45 to a heart attack. And her testimony is what keeps me going in the faith. You know, her prayers. You know, I'm sure it's because of her praying that I am here today. See, we pray because as people of the kingdom, we pray for the kingdom to come, for the kingdom to grow, for Christ's kingdom to reign in each of our hearts and our lives, because we love these people. Kingdom living requires kingdom praying. It's our duty, but we do it because we love them. So how can you put this into practice? Prairie Ridge Meadows, we've discussed this a number of times. Many of you have put your little pin where your house is at on the map in the back. You know, and showing where, you know, where we're located all over Maple Ridge and Pitt Meadows. Where do we pray? Where do you, you know, are you going around? Are you walking your neighborhood or going for a bike ride or even a drive? I'm too lazy to walk. So, yeah, if anything, I'm going to at least have the bike pedal. I can coast for a bit, you know, but spend that time and pray for the people in your neighborhood. You know, pray over that house, pray over that house, and praying that, you know, that your kingdom come, that God's kingdom would be growing, you know, in that household. That God's kingdom, that if they are already in God's kingdom, that they would be growing in sanctification and that God would be meeting their needs. If you commute, one of the practical ways is you can, you know, have a prayer list and pray as you're driving. My friend Steve, who used to be one of my camp directors, my name's right up there on the side in the middle. You know, he has this label maker, the guy's nuts, but he would just stick stickers on his dashboard, and each morning on his way to work, he would pray through the people on his dashboard. And if you drive a 2003 Corolla, you know, sticker it up. You know, that is okay. Sarah's got a label maker. She'll let you borrow it. He also said that he kept his wife and children on the steering wheel So if he was ever in an accident, there would be the last things through his mind. Sorry, that was dark. So what can you do today, right now? You know, how are we going to put this into practice? I want you to each take one of these cards, start passing them out here. Let's pass those back. So these are, I'll probably get a few more here. These are an initiative made by Christianity Explored for you to pray 5 people into the kingdom in 2020. Oh, shoot. I guess I didn't bring any pens. I guess I wasn't fully prepared. I'm going to get marks knocked off for that. But if you, right now, if you can think of at least one person, if you know 5 people and you can fill it all out right away, great. But right now I want you to think of at least one person that you know in your life that needs to get prayed into the kingdom in 2020. That you want to see their life grow the kingdom. But I also want you to think of at least one other person. They're here in Cornerstone or in another church, but a brother or sister that needs prayer, that you can intercede for. In a moment we're gonna take some time in silent prayer, and I want us to lift these people up. But I want us to lift each other up to Jesus in prayer. As some of us need prayer for healing. Some of us need prayer for strength. Some of us need the power to persevere. Lift up your church staff, your leadership team, Brent and Lana. Lift up our marriages, our children, our church. I want you to bring those that you love into God's presence today. So we're going to take just a few minutes, and I want you to pray for these people. And I will close us off, and the worship team will close us off with a few more songs. But let's pray. Father, we lift up these prayers to you. God, we pray for those we love, God, those we love that do not yet know you. God, we intercede that you would bring them into your kingdom. God, that with their lives that you would grow this kingdom even bigger. Father, that you would save those trapped in the darkness. Our parents, our brothers and sisters, children, God, our friends. know the people that are on our hearts. God, so we pray that you would bring them into your kingdom. God, we lift up each other in prayer. Father, we pray for this church. We pray for Brent and Lana as they're away on holiday, Father, that we lift them up to you. We ask that you would give them rest in this time. Father, and continue to renew their marriage day by day. Father, we pray for Stephen and Kathy. Lord, we pray for healing for Kathy. God, if it is your will, we pray for healing, because we know that you can do that. God, give Stephen and the rest of the family the strength they need during this time. Father, be with those of us that are hurting, that need strength, even just to make it through each day. Those that are fighting depression, especially here in our church. God, those that are fighting physical ailments. God, we just ask that you would provide strength, that we would provide healing. That you just provide for the needs of our brothers and sisters. God, in their struggles, that they would be relying on you, that they would be leaning on you for your help, for your strength, for your love. God, most of all, I just pray that it would be your love that we are tapping into, God, in this desire to intercede for each other and for those in our world. God, because it is from you and you alone, God, from your sacrifice and your love for us, from how you intercede for us, that we are able to bring others into your presence. So we thank you, God, for what you've done for us, and we ask you to help us pass that on to others. In your name.